You may be seated. At this time, the children can be dismissed to Children's Church. You know, to start out, I want to say, you know, something that I'm realizing as I get older is the older I get, the more pains, aches, and pains and stuff that come with that. I had someone tell me recently that the older you get, the more noise you make getting up. I'm realizing that to be true in my own life. You know, I realized that I remember back when on my 30th birthday, which was a few years ago, my father called me and asked me one of his standard questions, but he probably asked me almost every year, "Do you feel any older?" Of course, that year when he called me, I was literally laying on my back. My back had gone out. And was having major issues. And so, yeah, I was like, "Dad, I do feel a lot older today." But, you know, this week, and now at 48, I bought my first pair of bifocals. So if you see me stumbling around in the coming weeks, I don't have them yet, but pray for me with that adjustment. But, you know, as we get older, though, I definitely realize we're more aware of just how frail we are. As much as the gift of life is an incredible gift, we realize that we weren't designed. When sin entered this world, it changed what our expectation is in this life. We know that our souls will live forever, but this body, until it's transformed, it doesn't get any better from year to year. We can try. I mean, there's a whole market of trying to keep our skin and our bodies young, but that's a losing battle. You can try. You can take care of yourself, but eventually, I mean, we all become more aware of just our bodies are frail. And it prepares us, I believe, for eternity. It prepares us for that day that we see Christ face to face. But, you know, as we come today and we think about how frail we are, it makes us more aware, too, of the need for healing. I'm amazed if you just look at the number of commercials on TV that are health-based, either for insurance or medication or whatever. I mean, it's clearly something that it's a universal issue. It's a universal issue that we people have health conditions. And when it comes to the church and when we read through the Gospels, we read these incredible accounts of Jesus healing people. And then sometimes you turn on the TV and you see things and you're like, is God really in this? Because it seems more like a sideshow than something that really is godly and someone claiming to be healing people. We live in this time where there's a clear need to understand the truth that Jesus is healer. And that's a central part of who we are as a Christian Missionary Alliance. If you sit here for any weeks, you see behind me what A.B. Simpson taught of the fourfold gospel of Jesus as our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. And as I've explained through this series about the good news, Simpson's intent was not to limit the good news, but to help us to have a greater picture of who Jesus is and everything that Jesus has done for us. So today we're going to focus on that truth of the good news, that in Jesus there is healing. And I'm always aware when I tackle this, and if this topic, and it's hard, if I'm preaching through the New Testament, we're coming along passages all the time of Jesus healing people. It's a central part of what he does. But I'm always aware after 20-some years of ministry and walking with people around this topic, is that some of you, when you hear this truth, it brings hope. Some of you, it brings discouragement, because you've been there and you've prayed and it didn't seem like God answered those prayers. And then you look at the TV and you see these two extremes. I think you have some people that are abusing the truth, it becomes more a focus on the personality and the charisma of the individual who's praying for people. And it does sometimes have this sense of a sideshow. And then you have people that react and they want to run away from all that. And they're on the other side of the spectrum where they come to a place of neglecting the truth of healing, or just total abandonment, saying, "I don't want anything to do with the abuses that I see." And when we do that, we rob ourselves of part of the good news. Part of the good news is that when we face sickness, when we face illness, or when someone we love faces sickness or illness, or last fall when we talked about the healing not only for the body but healing for the soul and our emotional wounds, If you weren't here for that, go back. That's on the web, the Going Deeper series. There was a week that we talked about God healing our emotional wounds. But, you know, that truth is something that we want to hold on to. And I have found in my life as I've walked through this is that I, as a pastor, I have celebrated with people who've experienced healing. I've seen it. And some of you have seen it too. Some of you can give testimony to God touching you and healing you. But I've also prayed fervently for people that I loved and was at their funeral. I can't answer the question of who is healed and who isn't healed. But when I go to the scripture, it is clear that God has given us the gift to be able to come to him and come to Jesus and pray for healing. And that one day, that and I'm always tempted to repeat sermons I've already preached. So if you've heard me, anytime I talk about healing, I always feel like I need to give that framework to understand that when we pray for healing, we never know if that healing is going to come today or if that healing is going to come with that ultimate healing. And we're going to unpack that a little bit more later, but the reality is we live in a world that we know that, again, we're getting frail. We know that every one of us is going to breathe our last. If Jesus tarries, we're all going to face death. I mean, think about it. Even Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, died again. And yet we celebrate a Savior who lives and is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus, the Jesus we read in the New Testament that can heal, is the same Jesus that can heal today, and he's given us the incredible gift of coming to him with our wounds, coming to him with our sickness, and asking for prayer, believing that he can speak to us and that he can touch us. As I've said, again, I have celebrated with people who have been healed. I've walked with those who have not been healed. But through all of it, I still believe that Jesus is our healer. Today we're going to be looking, and we can look at a lot of places in the Gospels. We're going to be looking at Mark 5, verses 25 through 34. And what's interesting about this is a miracle sandwiched in between another miracle. This is the account, if you start looking at this section right before, there's a guy named Jairus, who is a synagogue ruler, who sends people to get Jesus to come because his daughter is sick. And while Jesus is on the way to heal Jairus' daughter, you have the incident that we're going to look at today. And to finish that story, we're not touching on that, but to finish that story, you have Jesus performing this second miracle. In the meantime, Jairus' representatives come and say, she's already gone. And Jesus goes on to actually raise Jairus' daughter from her deathbed. But we're going to look specifically at this interruption where Jesus heals a woman. And it's one of the most unique accounts because Jesus at the moment isn't even aware of what's going on. And yet this woman in her faith, reaching out and touching Jesus, is changed. Matthew 5, 25 through 34 says, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better but grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Now, you need to understand, this woman would not only be suffering physically, but she would have been considered ceremonially unclean, not just for a short time, not just a month, for 12 years. She's not been able to go to the temple. She's not been able to really fellowship in her worshiping community. So her coming and being in the midst of this crowd is a no-no. Because she could touch anyone else, but she not only goes and is in the crowd, she basically sneaks up behind Jesus to touch him, which would be another no-no, because if she touches him, that would make, in the understanding, it would make Jesus unclean. And yet Jesus was no ordinary man. She says, if I even touch his garments, I will be made well. And verse 29 says, and immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And the disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Now, hopefully you were following along in your own Bibles there, but I just have a couple of the verses I want to highlight. Verse 25, you have this picture of this woman. Again, for 12 years, she has struggled with this. Some of you have had health conditions that you've been dealing with for years. And there's going to be great discouragement in that. We know Paul even describes some form of a condition that theologians like to argue about or what it might be, but most likely something with his eyes. But we know, even from Scripture, there are some people who they're dealing with ongoing issues. This woman's been dealing with something for 12 years, and it's affected her not only physically, but imagine the emotional toll. It says that she's actually suffered under the hands of many physicians, which makes you wonder, how were these physicians trying to fix the problem? But it's just getting worse. Whatever they did, it only got worse. You can imagine that this woman came to a point where she was ready to give up. And it's in that moment in verse 27 that she hears the reports about Jesus. She's heard about Jesus, and so she finds herself in the crowd looking for him. And she goes and she finds him. She sneaks up behind him, pressing. She had to be, I'm assuming, with the crowd, pushing her way through, and finds Jesus, reaches out and touches Jesus. Because she said in verse 28, she says, "For you believe that if I touch his garments, I will be made well." And this is, again, the uniqueness of this account. In most of the accounts of Jesus' healing, you see Jesus, in some sense, making a conscious decision in responding to a person in their need for healing. Here you have a woman who's just is at her point of desperation, and she comes to a place to say, "You know, I've dealt with this for 12 years, but I hear Jesus can heal." And so she finds Jesus, and she reaches out, and she touches him with the hope and with the faith of saying that even if I touch his garments, I will be made well. And in that moment, she's made well. And what's immediate, it says in verse 29, that immediately, I don't know if I had this on the next slide or not. I don't think I do. It says she immediately knew. The woman immediately knew. The flow of blood stopped, and she immediately knew she had been healed. And the account goes on to say Jesus immediately knew that something had happened. To the point the disciples are like, "Jesus, what are you talking about? There's people all around you. What do you mean, who touched you?" I love the fact that there's so many places where you see the disciples not getting it. And this is one of those. The woman knows she's been touched. Jesus knows that someone has been healed. And yet the disciples, they don't understand what's going on. And so you have the account when Jesus calls out and this woman and asks, "Who touched me?" This woman knows that Jesus is talking about her. And so she looks around and says she came with fear and trembling, and she fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And imagine her reaction to not only know that she's already been healed, but then to hear Jesus' words, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." You know, with the picture of this account and understanding what's happening here, it reminds me of how many times in our own life we've either had someone that we're concerned about, that we're want to pray for healing, or you're walking through something specifically yourself and you want to pray for healing, and you've been kind of in that condition of this woman to say, "You know, I've tried the doctors, I've tried the medicine, I've tried everything else. Have I prayed about this?" You know, I'm well aware there are some of the groups that I think have abused the truth of healing found in Christ, who have said, "We don't need medical doctors, we don't need medicine," and I firmly believe God can use those means to bring healing. But what I also found that while we've maybe not fallen into that trap of thinking we shouldn't use medicine, I think sometimes we go too quickly to the medicine and we don't go quick enough to Jesus and ask for his touch of healing. Or at least, shouldn't we be doing that simultaneously? Of see your doctor, do what you need to do, follow what the doctors are saying, but at the same time, pray. Be anointed. Ask for Jesus' touch of healing. You know, I think when we think of those two extremes of the neglect or the abandonment of the truth that Jesus can heal, and those who have abused that truth and gotten kind of crazy in some things, I've been thrilled to be a part of the Christian Missionary Alliance because I think they've navigated these waters pretty well. And what I want us to do is just to focus on, before we come back to this story, I just want to focus on what I think I've learned growing up in the Alliance. And I'm sorry, I don't always go heavily on my specific theology in the Alliance, but this is central to who we are. And I believe it's grounded on God's Word. But I when I think about what I've learned growing up and walking through these issues over the years, is that when we think about Jesus being our healer, is there are some central truths that we can't get around. And whether you're here today and you're in that camp of saying, you know, yeah, I'll pray for someone to be healed, but I don't know if God does miracles like that anymore. Or you're on this side of saying, look, or maybe you've fallen into some of the traps of thinking, well, if I just have enough faith, this is definitely going to happen. Wherever you're at on that spectrum, we need to be reminded of the basic truths in God's Word about Jesus and healing. Now, one of the things we see very clearly, if you can't read the Gospels without realizing that healing was a central part to Jesus' ministry. Matthew 4:23 says, "And he went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in the synagogue and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom." We're going to talk about the gospel of the kingdom the next 2 weeks. You want to be here for that? "But he went out proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people." I mean, it's all through the New Testament. You can't read the Gospels and walk away. If someone never had an experience in a Christian church today, and all they had was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they were asked to say, well, tell me about this Jesus after you've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And somewhere in their report, they're going to talk about how Jesus healed people. It was central to what he did. We also, though, see that it was not only central to what Jesus did, but when he sent out the 12 and then sent out the 70. And then when the Holy Spirit comes in the book of Acts and God empowers through his Spirit his church, you see that healing was a central part of the disciples' ministry. Matthew 10:1 says, "And he called him," Jesus called his 12, "and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction." So this ministry of healing and praying for healing was something that was not only something Jesus did, he intentionally passed it on to his disciples. And then throughout all the book of Acts, you see the early church, it still being a central thing. Jesus is not technically on the scene anymore. He's ascended to the Father, but the Holy Spirit is working through the church and people are still being healed. Healing was a central part to Jesus' ministry. Healing has always been a central part to a disciple's ministry. But I also believe that, and this is something that the Alliance champions, and I believe it's a central truth, is that healing is central to Jesus' work on the cross. Isaiah 53:3-5 gives us an incredible picture. Again, this is written before Jesus even walked on this earth, describing his suffering and what he would secure on the cross for us. Matthew 53:3-5 says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Now, there are some people that read these verses and they say that this is only talking about spiritual healing. This passage clearly is talking about Jesus taking our sin, our iniquity upon himself. And that in Christ, because he carried our sin, we can be find forgiveness. We can be saved. We can be restored. But there's also an aspect here of what Jesus did, that he not only took on our sin, but it says that he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. The chastisement, it brought us peace or shalom. And with his wounds, we are healed. There's two things I'd like to say about that before we get back to our story of this woman. Is that Matthew, or is it those who would try to say that this is only a spiritual healing? I would encourage them to read Matthew 8, 14 through 17, where Peter heals his mother-in-law. And after he prays over and his mother-in-law is physically healed, after Peter's mother-in-law is healed, these exact words are quoted, that this was to fulfill what was said in Isaiah 53. So you have an account of Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law, and the evidence and the argument made in that point is saying this fulfills what Jesus was going to do in Isaiah 53, that he would carry our sorrows, he would carry our griefs, and that by his stripes we would be healed. We need to be cautious that we don't try to, out of our discomfort, and especially some of the abuses we see, abandon the truth of God's word. That what Jesus did on the cross not only dealt with the issue of sin, and we can celebrate the forgiveness that we have in him, but there is a work of healing that comes through what Jesus did on the cross for each one of us. And I would say, with the inclusion of that word shalom and peace, it's not just talking about the fact that God dealt with the sin so that we could be restored in relationship and at peace with God. That's part of it. But that idea of shalom is a picture of wholeness. It's an incredible truth to know that we have a Savior who not only has addressed our sin, but he is aware of our pain. He's aware of our brokenness. And he wants to come alongside of us and work in us to address those things in our life. One of the things that is helpful, though, and I think this is where the rub comes, you say, well, if Jesus did that, why isn't everyone healed? And that's where I think we need to take the big picture, a broad picture of what Scripture teaches us. And there are three key events that you see in Scripture that relate to this issue of God and healing. One, Genesis 3 tells us the story of what? Genesis 3. It's the fall, where sin enters the world. And when we read in Genesis 3, the idea of sin entering the world, it brings physical death. It's in that moment in Adam and Eve's sin that sickness has entered into this world. This world that God has created and created good has now been tainted by sin. And because of that, there is death. There is sickness. That's event one. Isaiah 53 and what we read about Jesus in the New Testament is the response to the death and the sickness and death that entered into this world. Jesus addresses that on the cross. That's that second event. And we understand, to a point, we understand that idea of the now and not yet, and we're going to talk about that the next 2 weeks about God's kingdom, that there's some things we enjoy and we celebrate as being God's children now. And yet we also hold on and we hope for that day of Christ's return where we'll fully realize all that Jesus has done for us. I think we get that in the idea of, well, we've been forgiven and now we walk with Jesus and there will be a day that we're going to become like him and that the sin will be no more. We get that idea of the now present blessing of being forgiven and that future blessing of being transformed to be like him. But I don't think we relate that sometimes to healing. What Jesus did on the cross for us is has provided the opportunity for us to not only go to him in finding forgiveness, but that we can come to him in prayer and ask for Jesus' touch of healing in our life. Because we have that third event. The first event is sin entering the world, bringing death, bringing sickness. And then what Jesus does is described in Isaiah 53 and in each of the Gospels. That third event that at the end of the story is that picture we have in Revelation 21. And John says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning nor crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. We've already sung about this morning, that I will rise. Some of the exact words from these verses were, we have already sung. We live in that in-between, that the kingdom has come, and yet the kingdom is coming. And we can go to God, and we can, in confidence, ask for healing, but we don't know if that healing is going to come today, or that healing is going to be the ultimate healing, when we either see Christ face to face, or we pass into his presence. The good news, though, is that Jesus is our healer. And this is where I want to go back to the story. Because when you look at this woman in this account, I think when it brings up the issue that really is a sticking point for a lot of people that struggle with these issues. And it's the issue of, where does faith fit in? Where does our faith fit into this account? And where does our faith fit into the issue of pursuing healing and asking for God's healing? Look at Mark 5, 33 through 34. Go to the next slide, please. It says, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Now again, the woman's testimony and statement earlier was, if I just touch Jesus' garment, I will be healed. That's a statement of faith. She's believing that Jesus is able, that if he's healed other people, he can heal her. And so he's reaching out, or she's reaching out, praying that Jesus would touch her. And here in this moment, after the miracle has already happened, the woman is already healed, Jesus says to her, your faith has made you well. So clearly, the issue of faith is connected. That somehow we have to understand that we are called to a place of having faith or confidence to believe that God can heal. Where we've gotten into trouble is some of the groups that have tried to say, well, if you're not healed, you just haven't had enough faith. I've shared the story before of one of my uncles, who in the final years of his life, due to illness, was in a wheelchair. And he was at a part of a church that the Word of Faith movement came through, that taught that if you're not healed, either there's sin in your life or you don't have enough faith. Do you realize how many people have been drastically hurt by that type of theology? What does that say about God? What does that say about us, let alone the lack of compassion that is conveyed in those type of statements? The issue is not that we can't muster faith and think that we're going to be able to somehow claim that miracle. The reality is, it's not us. Our faith is not what brings a healing, but our faith is involved. Jesus is the one who heals. And this is where I want to end today, is just, I think when you look at this woman, I mean, obviously this account, more than a lot of the other accounts where Jesus heals someone, this woman's faith is front and center. Because she's reached out in faith. Jesus isn't even aware at that moment that she's touching his garment and that she's healed. So faith is, I mean, and Jesus' response, it says, look, woman, your daughter, your faith has healed you. So faith is clearly involved. We have to have faith. We have to have confidence that God can heal. But I think to navigate some of the abuses we've seen, I want to end with a few points that we need to remember. When we pray in faith, we need to remember very clearly, it's God who heals. It's not us. Whether you have the faith or confidence to believe that he can, or whether you're at, wherever you're on that spectrum, and I personally believe that God knows, we're like the man who said, I believe, help my unbelief, and why Jesus talks about having the faith of a mustard seed, because we have to be in that place that we may not have full confidence, but I'm going to at least step out in faith and say, I trust, and I'm going to believe. We need to remember, though, that it's God who heals. Remember Peter in Acts 3 to the lame man. He says, I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Rabbi Zacharias likes to tell the story of the time where Aquinas was with the Pope of that time, of his day. And this story has a little bit of a feel of an urban legend. If the fact that Ravi has shared it gives me some confidence that it's probably a little more accurate. But the incident goes that Aquinas is in the basilica and he walks into a room where he sees the storehouses of wealth. And the Pope looks at Aquinas and says, well, we can no longer say silver or gold have I none. And Aquinas didn't miss a beat and said, well, neither can we say rise and walk. We have to look in our own, when it comes to faith and understanding this truth, the confidence and the belief has to be focused on the person of Jesus. We have to have our focus and our belief not on what we are doing, but in the confidence that God is able and that Jesus is able to heal. But we also see in the scriptures that faith is required. It's God that does the healing, but faith is required. The woman in the story, and that's a clear message, clear point. Your faith has made you well. In James 5:15, or I'm going to read verses 14 through 16, says, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous person has a great power as it is working. At the close of the service today, we're actually going to give you an opportunity if you have a physical need or just physical, emotional, whatever the need is. If you need a touch, you just need a touch of healing in your heart and your life. When we close today, there will be an invitation. You can come, and the elders are prepared with oil to follow these instructions. If you have need, you can come. The elders will pray with you, anoint you with oil, which represents God's Spirit being present, and we'll pray. But you know, this James passage really takes the truths of God is the one who heals, and yet faith, the involvement of faith, and brings those together. You have the phrase in the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. I love the fact that the instructions are for a group of elders to pray. So if someone is healed, I don't know which one of the elders offered the prayer of faith. Because the point, again, isn't us, it's Jesus. The prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. So faith is clearly involved, but it goes on to say, but it's the Lord who will raise him up. The healing is not from us. The healing is not from someone who can make a really interesting seen on TV. The issue is the confidence to believe that Jesus can heal. Over the time, and when God revealed this to me a number of years ago, it was when I was saying goodbye to someone I dearly loved. And it just happened. Again, you know, if you've been around, you know I like to preach in a series. And we were working through a series, it's what the scripture said. This is where we're at in the scripture. This is what I'm going to preach. And for like 3 straight weeks, as one of our dear leaders in my previous church was on her deathbed, I'm tasked with preaching messages about healing because that's where we were at in the scripture. And I remember when God really just spoke to me, said, Doug, it's not about control. We don't pray in some way that, and this is where we see some of the abuse. We pray in some way like it's magic or that somehow we're going to pray hard enough or we're going to pray in some way that we're going to control God's hand. The issue isn't control. The issue is confidence. And so I could pray with someone who is on her deathbed and pray in knowing that she also was praying knowing that Jesus was able. But then we left the results into God's hands. God invites us to bring our needs to Him, to come to Him. And if you're here today and you've been struggling with this truth, remember that we have been given the good news that Jesus is not only Savior, He is healer. And if we have a need or someone we love has a need, we can bring them before Jesus and ask for healing. You can follow the instructions of what we're going to do from James 5 today. If you have a need, you can come. The elders will be here to anoint you and pray over you. And we can pray believing not that we're going to somehow manipulate things or press all the right buttons to try to get an end result that we want. We're just coming as God's children in confidence and saying, I believe. So today, wherever you're at on this issue, whether you fall more in the camp of saying, it scares me, or I've seen the abuse, I don't want anything to do with it, or you're on the edge of saying, look, I've dealt with some of the struggles with the issue of thinking that I just didn't have enough faith or something. Wherever you're at and what your experience has been, let's just lift up Christ in this moment and realize that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Jesus who healed in the Gospels is the same Jesus that can heal us now. And yet we don't know if the healing will come in this moment or the healing will come in the future. But we know that what Christ has done for us on the cross will have an effect in our lives in this world. Let's pray. As the musicians come, just want to, again, as we're singing our final song, if you have a physical need, or not just physical, but any need, and you would like to be anointed and prayed for, as we're leading this final song, just know you can come. The elders will meet you at the front. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, we thank you that you are the same. Lord, the world around us changes all the time, and yet you are unchanging. Lord, help us to live with the confidence to believe that you are able. But Lord, may we walk in this life, Lord, not only with the confidence knowing you're able, but to know that there are days, Lord, that we are going to walk in the darkness. And yet we can celebrate, as the psalmist celebrated, that you are with us. That you guide us, you comfort us. But Lord, I just pray as we close today, Lord, that if there's someone here that just needs a touch from you, Lord, that they would just reach out to touch you today. We have the example of this woman reaching out and touching her garment. Lord, help us to make that choice of faith to just trust you with our needs. Help us to be less quick to go to the doctor and to trust all the other things that are good things and things that you can use. But also help us to remember, Lord, that we need to pray. We need to invite your touch in our lives. Lord, give us the faith. Give us the confidence to believe. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.